Welcome back.
Troy, what's your favorite farm animal?
A cow.
A cow? Do you like our cows?
Yeah.
How big are they?
Big.
Do you like our chickens?
Yeah, they are big too.
They're big too? Are they as big as cows?
Yeah.
What chicken is as big as a cow?
Like a sheep is big.
The sheep is big too. You like our sheep?
Yeah.
Thank you for your insight. Can you say bye-bye, see you later?
Bye-bye, see you later.
You got it? You good?
I'm good.
Okay. Well, as usual, it's been a while. You were asking me what we even talked about last time.
Yeah, I was like, we need to catch up. But then I know that I think you said that you did a solo one without me.
Yeah, I did a solo one without you. Clearly, you have not listened to it.
No.
So we see your dedication.
I've just been so... I expected things to be a little easier during the summer. It's not been easier.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so really, even with all the updates, we really haven't been talking about much because I know you're super busy, but as far as like the podcast, there haven't been a ton of updates. The last one we did together was talking about how there have been no updates. And I think we talked about the Bumblefoot situation.
Oh, yeah. Did we ever figure out if we fixed that or not?
I don't know.
We have two identical ones. I guess we didn't address that.
Yeah, we have two identical Leghorn chickens and both of, well, I don't know. Jury's still out.
One of them looks fine.
One of them is fine. We can't figure out.
The other one definitely has Bumblefoot. So, I mean, we need to catch her and do something about it.
Yeah. It's a work in progress. We're figuring it out. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about it. We have more important things to talk about right now.
Yeah, and still more stuff to do around the farm, but...
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of stuff. We do actually have a ton of stuff to talk about this episode, but the two big things were the predator attacks.
Yeah, we finally were assaulted by what?
We don't know.
Well, I'm pretty sure. There's just a lot going on around here, though, like that it could be. So we'll get into that. We won't sidetrack. So what's the second thing that we're going to do? The processing?
Yeah, the chicken process.
A lot of processing.
Death on the farm. Some good, some bad.
Yeah, well, I mean... Not a good way of putting it. Some planned and some unplanned.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going on. Your garden, I'm sure you want to do some garden updates, or you probably did in the last podcast.
Well, I did in the last podcast. I'll do the garden update really quick because just like usual in the summer, we are in peak, like pretty much peak heat now. Like we are ramping up to peak heat, which means that the garden
this
is at
peak heat. It was hot, very hot. As hot as balls, I'll say.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And so hot today.
When it gets that hot, the garden kind of like stalls for a little bit. Like a lot of the blossoms fall off because they're like, fuck this, man. We don't even want to be out here.
Yeah, I've actually noticed some places... In the pasture, the pasture is like better than it's ever been before. This is this regenerative, the recycling, the way that we're moving them is working really well.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some spots, and go figure. It's so the spots that early in the spring we were like, man, we really need to use the like now that we can move our stuff, we really need to use this. It's so growing so well. It's not, those places aren't catching back up as quick. And I think it's because of like, I guess probably all the, you know, the rest of the pasture has had what, 3 or 4 years of like animal manure and tearing up going into it. But now that we're giving those areas time to way more rest than they've ever got, these other areas that have never been rotated on, it just seems like they're not going up as quick. Like, so up by like, you'll know where I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I guess they probably won't. Up by our light behind next to the shed, like that area is, I'm gonna skip it on this rotation. And it's been like what? It's been at least 2 or 3 weeks since they've been there.
Well, you know, I'm wondering too, which you're probably right, but I'm wondering if it's also like a weird random difference in the kind of grass that's up there? Like, if, because it was really lush and beautiful in the early spring. And I'm wondering if that is just like some kind of early spring grass. And now, because we're in peak heat, that's going to, because the weeds and stuff change throughout, like even right in front of our door in the early spring, it's like that really beautiful, lush, like nice soft grass. And right now, all that has died and it's like this weird viney stuff, but that happens every year.
There's that viney stuff, there's the fescue stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think that that area by the shed had clover.
Yeah.
Whereas yeah. our front pastures did.
Right, that's true.
And there's some, I can't remember if there was some picture. I think there's some pictures that I wanted to show you at some point. So, like, we talk about, like, or at least me and you have talked about, like, how we essentially had, like, a sacrifice area. It's where we had, like, the shelter and everything. And then mulching up. And we still look and see that grass hasn't grown there, right? Mm-hmm. But at the very beginning of the spring, when grass was starting to grow and starting to grow pretty quick, the area that the grass didn't grow in, compared to the area that it's not growing in now, is it's a substantial difference.
Yeah.
The grass has really like creeped in all around that. And then I actually pulled a chicken tractor over it, which we'll talk about this particular chicken tractor, which I was not planning on doing this with it, but whatever. But like it broke down some of the mulch even more.
Okay.
It was giving the four wheeler a hard time because it was like dug in. And so I just kept pulling it and scraping it. So. Yeah. Maybe this will be what finally gets it to roll again. And then I was thinking about maybe doing a lot of, they call it like hay bale rolling, which is basically like this winter when we have to like supplement in grass and when we're finally out, like picking places that didn't grow very well or bad places in general and just unrolling a hay bale. Like every day you roll it a little bit further mm-hmm. and a little bit further, and the sheep like eat it off the ground and trample it in and stuff. And all that stuff has like seeds and everything, and they go into the soil and it, you know, it turns into dirt that, you know, what they don't eat. So it's like people say you waste a lot, but I mean, is it really wasting it if you're adding to your soil right. and then adding to the, like, you know?
So true. Yeah.
And we definitely have seeded in some stuff from just the hay mm-hmm. over the winter in the sacrifice area.
Yeah. And just to clarify what he means by sacrifice area, that sounds weird just for anyone who doesn't know, but it's the area in the winter we had the animals all up in one area in the pasture, and that's where we fed them every day. So the leftover feed and hay all kind of piled up in one area. And of course it killed all the grass because it essentially like mulched it all over. So it's still kind of like a pile that no grass is on, but the grass is growing on it more. So the area is smaller now at this point.
Now it's like not even a 6x6.
Yeah.
Circle.
It's
And it used to be like a 30x30 or so. I was looking at the pictures. It was very big. It was a lot bigger than we realized until I looked at the pictures and I was like, huh.
The pictures that Nick took?
No. The picture, they're like pictures like from like just farm stuff. Oh. Over the, you know, whether it was babies being born or whatever. Yeah. And so, well, you know, we have a lot of strategies and I'm going to build them a new structure for the winter, and I might even use it in the summer too. I got to decide how I want to do things, because now that I see that the PVC, the 2-inch PVC, holds up really, really well so far, we may build something like that for a shelter style thing for the sheep, because I don't really give them very much shelter. But part of this rotational grazing, I'm letting some trees grow up
mm-hmm.
in different places, and so that'll eventually be like bonus, you know, shade and everything. But I mean, they're sheep. They're all right. They're not dogs or cats mm-hmm. or, yeah, it rains on them, whatever. Like, they'll be okay. Like, no one's out there in the wild holding an umbrella over them. Like, no one is building shelters for deer. Like,
right. You know? But I mean, I guess it just goes back to that of like them having natural stuff. Cause I mean, a deer is also not just going to stand in the middle of the field.
They might.
If they, in this
situation. But the only real reason that I do, you know, step out and do a little bit more is with the babies. Like, because the babies, you know, if it's like torrential downpouring, like they'll die.
Yeah.
They'll get hypothermia and die. And we're trying to expand our block, like, you know. Right now, it's the summertime. It's 90 degrees. They get rain on. They're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. They're all old or anyway. I mean, they're old, but they're all... Even little babies, if it was 90 degrees, they'd be like, gotta be all right.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. You know, they might be in one area as a sacrifice area until the first lamb pops out, and then we might immediately move them to, like, even drier areas or hay roll areas and move the shelter with them. That way the babies, because once we have one, we know that the rest are going to be coming. And so we'll try to like keep moving them to keep them nice and dry and safe and all that other stuff. So, yeah.
A lot to think about.
It is. I've been thinking about all the time in this heat.
Oh, yeah. Miserable. But so. Yeah, I guess back to my point. Garden is, yeah, kind of in a, both in a peak and a lull at the same time, if that makes sense. Like, everything is ripening, so I'm harvesting a ton, but there's going to be a little bit of a break here with this peak heat before there's, like, another, like, big harvest situation. But definitely rolling in tomatoes, rolling in everything. It's wonderful.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and pumpkins. Oh, my first pumpkins are ripe. I don't know what we're going to do with those.
We'll make some apple pumpkin, or apple. We'll make some summer pumpkin pie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Back hurts a little bit.
Okay. So do we want to talk about the predator attacks now?
Sure. So we've been really lucky with the predators on the farm, right? And,
or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof. But, like, I do notice things from time to time. Like, I know there's at least one Cooper Hawk that flies around.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's a decent amount of raccoons in our backwoods. And I know that sometimes there's a possum who randomly waddles around by the shed.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the wild card. There's the two bears that will go through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So we had all our animals up front doing a rotation. So,
like the big animals.
Yeah. All our big animals were up front. Well, so were our chickens, except for the Plymouth Rocks.
Yeah.
They were up doing a rotation. So that meant that all my electro net fencing was all up in the front half of our property. And I noticed one day up in the front pasture, too, that the netting on the wire mesh netting on one of the chicken tractors was like loose in one spot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dang, that's kind of weird. And so I walked over and looked at it, and I was like, I thought that maybe they all like were chasing some bugs at some point and pressed up against it, and it just kind of made it saggy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that it had like popped off of the fender washers, which are screwed into the bottom. I'm screwed to the bottom and the top. And I was like, okay, this seems weird. And then as I walked around, I found a random chicken wing, like with feathers and everything still on it, just in the middle of one of my pastures. And I was like, okay, all right, what's happening here? And then I was like, dang, I think something might have got one of our birds. But obviously there's too many birds in a chicken tractor to like count. They move around all the time.
Yeah, it's impossible to count.
So I was like, well, dang, something got it. So let me fix this up and add a couple more screws, and I'll set some cameras up, and whatever got it's going to come back. So did all that. Nothing showed up on the cameras. Didn't have any more problems with that. Well, then a day or two later, so that day, I noticed we had three free-ranging little, they were like teenager birds.
Yeah, the last three chicks that hatched out of our batch from our girl, like our
barn, they like mix. Kept they getting out of their little coop area because the other birds in there were a little bit bigger, and we were like, whatever, they'll just free range.
Yeah, and it's been great for the past like 3 months.
Yeah, everything was fine. But then I noticed that there was only two instead of three, and I was like, dang, I wonder what happened to the third one. Maybe it's over in the neighbor's house, whatever. So then a day goes by, and then there's no more free rangers. And I was like, what? And then I noticed a Plymouth Rock had gotten out of the little pen area, which we were very slack on.
Yeah, the pen area was not super secure.
It was never meant to be, just with lumber prices and how busy we've been. I haven't built their quick little coop. Well, I noticed that there's a Plymouth Rock that got out, and she was all the way over on the other side of the property under a tree. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird. And so I walked over there to get her. I got her with a net, and as I'm walking back, I noticed I can see feathers in different places, like in the bat pasture that's not in use right now. And I go to investigate, and then while I'm going to investigate, I get sidetracked because I see more feathers in a bush, and I find a dead bird stashed in a bush that's not even ate. It's just
it's just a dead bird.
A bite mark on it, on the neck, and it's stashed under there. And then I find another one under a log behind a tree in the back pasture, and the head's gone. Mm-hmm. But that's it. It never got ate. And then so I'm walking around, I found like four other piles of feather, but no carcass. So normally when you see piles of feathers, you would find like some bones and stuff. It'd be a hawk,
mm-hmm.
typically. You know, like if a fox or a coyote gets it, it's going to grab it for the most part and run off. And I'm like, what is happening? Because some of them were far away,
mm-hmm.
From the coop. And then I realized, okay, we're missing. We had some random rooster get thrown into our order. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, where's that rooster? And then I realized one of our Cornish roosters was missing. And then that's when I freaked.
Yeah.
Because I was like, all right, happy. Now we have lost at least one important bird.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's one important bird. And then I count our white rocks. And how many white rocks were we down? Like three? Two?
It was more than two. Right, yeah, we have eight. We should have had 12.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and a Cornish. So yeah. We were down 5 plus the 3 teenagers.
Plus at least one meat bird.
Well, we found out it was 3, right? When we counted.
Well, I can't remember. Unfortunately, we had, I mean, unfortunately, when we had them as chicks up front,
yeah.
Then some got smushed, and we lost a couple there.
Yeah.
So I think we were only off by, I think there was like 3 that we were like, they might be unaccounted for.
Yeah.
Which isn't terrible. You should probably account to lose 10 to 15%.
Yeah. Birds. So essentially we lost around 10 birds total.
In like 3 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's when we noticed.
Yeah.
Like, and so I call my buddy Matt. He's a really big trapper. Me and him used to trap together. And, you know, the first thing he said was, y'all got any weasels out there? And we don't.
I know. Like, it's probably not funny for people who have weasels. They're like, yeah, valid question, but well, we don't have weasels.
Like, he's really good at dissecting situations like this.
Yeah.
And I had an idea of what it was, but there's also a couple of wild cards that I'll talk about mm-hmm. real quick, too. But, so we eliminated weasels and minks because we don't have them. He was like, well, if you don't have any weasels and minks, that's textbook raccoon behavior. Like, textbook.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing that I could, the only two other options that went through my mind were, it's raccoons, it's a raccoon with maybe a hawk got one, or it's a possum got maybe one or two, and raccoons got it. Or the craziest thing, which I would have loved to catch on camera, would be that it's foxes teaching their pups how to hunt.
Mm-hmm. That was another thing.
Which,
yeah.
You know, it would make sense if they stash them and everything. But, you know, Matt and I were both kind of on the same page. You know, decapitation and then a hidden chicken. Like, that just screams raccoons. And mm-hmm. we know we have raccoons behind the house.
Yeah.
And I pass on them every year deer hunting. But that's never happening again. Like, I'll bring my bow with me from now on. And I won't ruin the deer hunt. I'll just smack some raccoons with a bow while I'm mm-hmm. in there.
Yeah.
Like, but then the good neighbor, I went over there and delivered some stuff to them and tell me about the bear. The bear is around again. And I'm like, it can't be a bear. Like, mm-hmm. a bear would not be that careful. It would have just wrecked shop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would have tore the netting all up. Maybe not on purpose, but, like, fallen into it.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Bears are big, goofy, clumsy, opportunistic eaters. And they're really probably not going to come up to the house. But we'll see. It's legal for me to bait in this state, so there's going to be a big bait station going on back near one of my stands. Like, you can't shoot them over bait, but you can bait near it, and you can catch them coming in and coming out. So, we'll see. I don't particularly want to burn a bear tag behind my house, but if I'm losing animals, like, chickens aren't cheap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
It's a little money bag every time I lose one.
Yeah.
So, that went down. But then the animals went to the back pasture and electric fence went back up. And since the electric fence went back up, we've seen nothing. Like, I put out some fresh tuna scraps and cameras up everywhere. Mm-hmm. And not a single one was tripped the whole time. Yep. So we'll see what happens as the animals come and move back out again. Maybe I'll just leave a strand back there.
Yeah. So that was a huge bummer. And I think I'm pretty sure I talked about it in one of my solo episodes about that rooster, that random rooster. And, the majority of birds that were killed were our White Rock project, obviously. We're pretty bummed about that. It's just crazy how, like, they can just be gone, you know, like, good. I mean, our plans aren't ruined, thankfully, but...
They're not ruined.
They could have been, like...
They definitely could... Well, the gem, if we had lost...
If we had lost the hen...
We need to breed... There's three birds on this property. Okay, there's three birds on this property right now that are kind of, like, irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
We cannot lose the breast rooster. We cannot lose the breast hen. We cannot lose the Cornish hen.
Yeah.
The purebred Cornish hen cannot be lost or
we will never get one back.
Probably never. Yeah. So we need to breed the Cornish hen with the Cornish rooster and the two breast chickens. We need to breed them
ASAP.
Stat.
Yeah, like immediately.
And that's always been my plan to do.
Yeah.
So because then once we get more of them, then it's like, okay, we can we can take a breath. If we lose a layer, that would really suck, but we lose a layer, we lose a layer. We lose a White Rock, we can replace it.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot find legit Cornish hens for sale anywhere. Nobody has them.
Yep.
So, yeah, we got lucky, and probably Tyson's listening to this, and they're probably outside
right now
trying to kill our Cornish
hens. I know. Well, I guess everything kind of ties into each other, because so once that happened, we were like, okay, the area that they're in is not safe. We can't keep them there anymore. And Nate had been in the process of making a third chicken tractor because we – and I think we talked about it before, but we really want to split up the adult – meat birds, like, closer to when, like, they start to get big, just to give them more room. Like, toward the end, we end up having to move them, like, twice a day so they don't, like, burn the pasture. Like, it's kind of a pain in the ass. So, ideally, we want to split them up into two pens so that we don't have to do that. Which, now that I'm saying it out loud, I mean, I guess whether you move the one tractor twice or move two tractors once, I guess it's still, like, about the same.
It's not that big of a pain in the butt, though. Like, it's because it's a time thing. Like,
yeah.
If I have to add a couple extra minutes, but I'm already here doing it, it's not a big deal.
Then doing it, like, two times a day.
I obviously cannot do it in the morning. I'm too busy.
Yeah. Which, falls on.
And it's moving the tractors. Like, there's some flaws in it that I'm going to be addressing and changing going forward.
Okay.
I was talking to my buddy Randy about it. Like, I got to put what we refer to as, it's a bumper bar in there.
Okay. And so they don't get caught under it.
So it, like, bumps them so they know to, like, move your ass.
Wouldn't they just get caught under that, too?
It would make them run. If they get caught, the bumper bar wouldn't be on the ground.
Oh, okay.
It would come up about ankle height and cross.
Okay.
And so it would hit them, like, in the neck area, and they'd be like, oh, shit, I gotta move. And you put it, like, a foot away from the back end. So if they get caught underneath it, then they're gonna try to come. And like I said, these are all prototypes. So until we get how we really want it down packed.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're basically using one as a brooder. By the way, I didn't hook up the heat lamp to them tonight. I figured they'd be fine.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine tonight.
But we know that the first couple, like, the first week, like, we gotta be really careful to get out. Like, some of them get out because they're dumbs.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this tractor had been intended to split up the adult meat birds that we had at the time, because it during this time was, like, 2 weeks before, or maybe not even that, like, 1 or 2 weeks before the big birds were due to be processed. So Nate finished that up, and, like, literally it was, like, the day after he finished it, when we were going to transfer the big birds, is when these big predator attacks happen. And we're like, well, into the chicken tractor they go, and we ended up having to put the White Rocks in with, and the Cornish in that chicken tractor, because it is a lot safer, even though, you know, of course, the other one had kind of gotten broken into. They're, like, the lesser of the two evils. Well, like, it's a lot safer than...
So the other one got broken into, and the reason why we really think it was a raccoon was because something pulled up on it hard enough to pop that wire off.
Yeah.
But the difference is that we don't have, you know, 70-something Cornish... We don't have 70-something birds in there, and the birds we do have in there are not fat, waddling, can't get away from stuff.
Yeah.
So they're going to run away from the sides.
Yeah.
When they see, you know, the Cornish cross is not so much, bless their hearts. They're just... They turn into such big, fatty clunkers that they can't, like... And when they go to sleep at night, they all kind of, like, huddle up.
Yeah.
But unfortunately... Some of them huddle up on the wire, which is, you know, I had some customers over this weekend on the farm, and I was showing them, you know, little tips and tricks that I do. Like, when I feed my birds, when they're water stuff, it's all a couple feet away from the edges, because I expect my birds to be around the feet in the water more. So I want them out of the reach of, like, a hawk coming in, because a hawk's not going to be able to get in.
Yeah.
But if they're eating food and unsuspectingly right at the wire... then their chances of, like, getting wounded are exponentially increased.
Yeah.
So I was showing them stuff like that.
Cool. Yeah, so now they are in the chicken tractor, and, yeah, I guess that's what our life is right now.
That's what it is right now. I mean, the plan is still to build them another, you know, thing. Would like to get a little bit more profit back from the next chicken batch. I think we'll be looking pretty good then. Unfortunately, you know, meat chicken profits and what little bit we get from eggs are the only farm profit currently.
Yeah, at the moment.
Until the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Which the chicken profit is good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we don't, you know, I'm not going to break down into too many numbers, but we charge less than the average in North Carolina. But it is a lot of labor work, and so you got to think about all the labor and... We processed all, 76 chickens with just me and you and the kids.
Yeah, well, and we'll go into that in just a second, but just related to profit, it's just hard right now because we're still kind of paying off the investment that we put into it. Like, each month right now, until our White Rock situation is better, you know, we're still buying chicks every month, so we're paying off what we paid for the chickens. We're still doing infrastructure, like, and with every, you know, all these batches, we've been having to get more, like, feeders and waters and, like, upgrading them, and
we're figuring out what works and what doesn't work. Like, there's some of the waters I don't like anymore, so I don't even know what I'm gonna do with them. Maybe clean them all up, and then I don't know. Maybe I'll just clean them up and sell. I don't know. We'll probably just hold them because we can use it for all kinds of different things.
Yeah. So we're not really feeling the profit part of our profit yet.
No. So. Next. But we are, like, we do gross. We gross money in.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, like, rotates, like, the feed costs rotate. And I pile a lot of feed.
Yeah, so much, yeah.
Like, and we're about to, I mean, bless the guy's heart. He's a great guy. The guy that we get our feed from, I don't know if he just goofed, but the last two times I got feed from him, I don't know if he did his math wrong or what, but I got charged a different amount. Like, the ratio wasn't the same. So I think just to eliminate that problem going forward, I'm just gonna buy two more 55 gallon drums from him, because I know how much he'll charge me for 55 gallons.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel like it's an issue.
Yeah,
maybe I should bring it up to him, but I mean, what's he gonna do?
I don't care,
whatever. He's a local farmer. Like, we keep things local, inputs are local. That's a big thing for me. All my feed's local. It's going back into animals that are local. And next year, we'll try to even supplement a lot of our own experiment stuff.
Yeah, true. I mean, I do think you should call him out on if he tries it a third time. Just, you know, like, if we...
Like, literally, like, I got the sticky note, and then I looked at the receipt, and it was like, he was like, charge him this much for the 55 gallons, and then charge him, and he did stuff on his calculator, and then he was like, charge him this much for the 31 gallons. So I had two charges on 55 gallons mm-hmm. and two charges on 34 gallons. Right. But the ratio was completely off. Like,
right.
I don't know if I think he just added something wrong.
But if we were overcharging a customer and they're like, hey, I think this is wrong, wouldn't you, it is what it is. It is what it is. You'd rather them bring it to your attention than them be like, hey, that guy's really shiesty. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Yeah. I just think it was an honest mistake, but.
Yeah, costing us money, though. Easy for me to say who doesn't have to confront him about it.
A little bit of money. Well, I guess something we can throw in the podcast is last time I went to go
get
feed. I don't know. It wasn't the tropical storm, right? No.
It wasn't the tropical storm, but it was.
It was like a rain. It was a bad storm. Yeah. It was like super windy and raining. And I don't know why. I was in a rush. I was like, I got to get there before they close. And then it turns out they close an hour later than what I thought. And I was like, it would have been fine. But so I'm hauling ass in my truck. I didn't put any bricks or anything in these containers to hold them down.
And they're big.
The one that flew out wasn't the one I thought was going to fly out. But,
but I just saw so because people don't know, people don't know what it is though. You haven't described what
giant 55-gallon barrel with a twist plastic lid on. Yeah. Apparently, it was used to store and brine pickles. I think is what it says inside. Yeah. So I saw the wind pick it up. And then it put it back down, and I saw the dude behind me, back way off my truck. and it was pouring rain, and I was, in the middle of nowhere. I was just, if you know where we live, so I had just gotten out of, what is it, 158 or 168? It's mm-hmm. where the Dismal Swamp is. Yeah. And so, if the barrel had flown out in there, it would have just, landed in 10 feet of water. I would not have been able to get it. But I was like, oh, shit. I was like, well, if I can just make it a couple more miles, I'll be able to stop where there's, a roof awning situation, and I won't get wet. And I'll be able to... And about the same time I said it, I saw the wind just pick that thing up and whoosh, gone. I could hear it hit the road, too. It was like, dong. And then, of course, it bounced off to the side and went down, the ditches have got to be, 15 to 20 feet mm-hmm. down slope, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go back and get that. Thing's worth $20. Mm-hmm. I gotta go get it. So I turn around, I go to get it. Well, the grass is so overgrown in these giant ditches that I can't see it. And so I'm walking up and down the road with my truck with the flashers on, way away from me, and trying to find this dang barrel. By some miracle, I found it in the pouring rain. My glasses are all fogged up. I was like, this sucks. So I climbed down there to get it, and of course, it's all briars everywhere, and I'm in thin little pants and just getting destroyed getting this barrel up. I was like, this is the worst.
Mm.
It sucks.
Dang. Yeah, that sounds horrible.
It was. And the whole time I'm rushing because I'm like, I gotta get there, I gotta get there, yeah. I gotta get there. Oh, I can't remember. I don't think my truck acted up on that trip.
I don't think that one, but now it is actually acting up, which is great.
Hit or miss. It's like, it's.
But that's not good enough. Fine. We can't afford for it to miss while you're out off somewhere.
I think I found out the trick to get it to be aight, so we'll see. It's an old truck. This thing's a 93.
It's
with 300,000 miles on it. Yeah. So that all went down. So, we want to talk about the chicken processing day?
Yeah, I guess so.
What do you want to talk about it?
I don't know. I mean, I want to talk about it, but also I don't know what to talk. The scalder still did not come in, which is a huge
stupid scalder's
issue.
Not in yet, and I'm getting so mad. When was it supposed to? So I ordered this thing March.
Yeah.
And then they immediately were like, oh, sorry, this thing just went on back order, but we should have it in mid-May.
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
And I was like, that's 2 months away, but I need it. So, yeah. Well, I don't know if this thing was on that boat that got stuck in the Suez Canal or what, but I didn't get it in mid-May, and I didn't hear anything from them, so I messaged them. And they got back to me like 3 days later and they were like, oh yeah, the shipper or the supplier says that they should have it to us by mid-July. Today is mid-July and that thing still says back order on the website. And we have another batch of chickens to do at the beginning of August. And without this scalder, it really cramps my style.
Yeah, it's a big problem. But we did it.
We did it.
We did it, and the kids were here, which was not ideal.
We did it. We're going to do things differently next time. I got some plans up my sleeve.
Oh, yeah?
I do.
Well, yeah, I mean, how do we want to talk about this? Like, I don't really know. I want to talk about it, but I don't know how to talk about it.
Talk about what worked, what didn't work, what we liked, what we didn't like, things like that. So, because, like, I made some changes the way I did things. And I thought the birds came out great this time.
Yeah, they did come out great.
So yeah, if you've ever, I guess if you want to know how the whole chicken thing goes, so, I'll try not to be, I don't think there'll be anything like graphic or anything, but so essentially you put the chickens in these cones and they can't really get away, and then you just dispatch them because their heads can come out the bottom of the cone, and it's really quick, and they don't flop around, because remember, this is like, you know what I mean, like, your food, so they can't like get out, flop around. Things that we did differently this time that I really liked, we did not feed them a day before. And I think that was really crucial. And it also it also let me learn a little bit, too. Like, so we've been giving them a lot of grit, but I didn't really find, much grit in there. And there was, is it gizzards, crop, whatever you call it? Crop, I don't know. But that also let me see which birds, like, some of the birds, I guess, digest a lot quicker than the other ones. So we didn't feed them for over a day. And then when we did feed them the day before, I only half fed them. They only got half of their normal rations. But a couple of them, the crop was still full of the feed. Not that many of them. And there wasn't, like, bulging. But, like, there was still some in there. And, the, like I said, I didn't really find any grit. But also, the week before they went kaput, I did not give them grit. Because I was like, we're already here. You know? So, why waste money on it? So, yeah. So, still not sure what that was all about. But the whole thing that I really like about not feeding them is that when you do go to, like, gut them and everything... if you've ever gutted birds or whatever, you know that that crops up there, and the bird or turkey, it's always full. So it's like you have to pull it from the head end out. But when you don't feed them, you can come in from the bottom end of a bird and you can pull everything, and then you can get your hand around the crop from the inside. And since it's not full, it allows it to travel down the inside of the neck and come out in all one piece. So it doesn't like... bust, but if it's got food in it, it'll bust. So it's like I had to separate birds that still had stuff in there to the side, or you know, I had to know that I couldn't just pull because otherwise it would rupture it. And you know, then I spent extra time making sure it was nice and clean and sanitary. And
right, well, and I think that's the other thing, of they're not pooping on each other as much as they would, you know.
Oh, yeah, I mean, but that part doesn't really matter, they get washed so many times,
I know, but just better.
And it makes it easier in the dispatch, because when we did it the first time, we fed them uphill, and when they lose their appendage, sometimes poop just flies everywhere in the air because it's just a natural function, you know, I guess for an animal that dies, you know? So we eliminated that problem. The birds were a lot bigger this time than the trial run. I feel like that had to do with both rationing and grit. Oh, man, I moved the chicks the other day, and it was hilarious. They were annihilating a bunch of crickets. I think I saw crickets stuck in there, and all the... And these are the little chicks. They were just chasing them all down. Oh, I was like, good. Like, it's nice to see your birds doing...
Doing bird stuff.
Doing bird stuff. As best we can to protect them and for them to get ate. So, we, you know, we try to do an assembly line, but with two people, it's not really much of an assembly line. I feel like three people is would be the perfect number. Well, actually, four would be the perfect number, but I'm not, like, I'll pay somebody to help me when we start doing, you know, our pigs and stuff like that. But I just can't come to terms. There's not enough profit margin to pay somebody to help me get chickens. Because if you have one guy dispatching, passing it off to another person who's scalding, passing it off to another person who puts it in the plucker, and then passing it to somebody who does the gutting process, then, I mean, that's super quick. But we have to skip some of those steps. So how we did it was dispatch in batches of 10 to the scalder. Mm-hmm. From the scalder straight to the plucker. From the plucker straight to giant bins and coolers full of ice.
Mm-hmm. All in batches of like 10.
Right.
Like 8.
To get their core temperature down as quickly as possible.
Yep.
And then once all of them were done, then we were pulling them. Well, as they, once their core temperature was like really like way down, like super cold, I would take them and put them in our fridges that have been cleaned out and everything. Like, we have special fridges that we use just for the game process. And so we would put them in there just to keep them at the right temperature and not have them sitting in ice and water and stuff. And so they could kind of dry out a little bit. And then we would take them from the fridge, and then when everything was done, take them from the fridge, and then there was, you know, the last of them were still in the ice, but whatever. We'd take them out, gut them, feet off, heads off, all that stuff, and then pat them all dry and got them in the fridges. Mm-hmm. And we let them, we let them age for a day and a half. It seems like that's like the magic number with them. Mm-hmm. And then we did the shrink wrapping, and the thing we changed with the shrink wrapping from our trial run is that we didn't cut a hole in the breast area of the bag, which is what was like recommended. We went and did a straw method. It's like a metal tube that you're able to stick down into the body cavity, and when you twist tie the bag and you put it in the shrink wrap, the air can escape through that straw, and then you pull it out real quick and tighten the zip tie the rest of the way. And so, you get it shrink wrap. It's like what you see at the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they looked legit. They were great. I think with part, like, a big challenge was the scalding. Because with the scalder that we're waiting on, it's going to know what temperature to have. And, like, it's made for this kind of stuff. But I just kind of had to be at the stove with our giant stock pot trying to keep the water temperature.
Yeah. And you got to make sure the water temperature is, like, almost perfect. Like perfect, because if it's too hot, then you'll start to rip the skin in the plucker, and if it's too cold, it won't loosen the feathers up all the way, and so you'll have them spinning in the plucker not getting the rest, and then the longer they spin in the plucker, the greater chance you have of having damage to the birds. And it's like, nobody wants to buy a bird that like just looks like it got the shit beat out of it. Yeah. Broken wings and legs. And
yeah.
So,
yeah, that was challenging. I mean, I just felt so bad for you. Because, I mean, it's a long freaking day. It went so much better than I thought. I thought it would be, like...
Yeah, so... I just felt like it was slower than I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And it's just the logistics of everything that made it a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And it was hot.
I know, and that's, like, a lot of the little things I feel like we're going to improve. Like, we're going to definitely get some kind of, like, tent canopy thing for when you're outside. Because, like, with the, you know, when you're out there dispatching the birds or, like, you know, doing anything out there, like, the sun's beating down on you. Like, I want to have, like, more freaking Gatorade, like, quicker things for you to, like... literally be able to fuel up, because you're literally on your feet all day. Like, it's active. Like, yeah. I know it sounds stupid, but like, even carrying like carrying the chickens around, like, it's freaking exhausting, you know, like, yeah. From, you know, where you were killing them and when, you know, all the way back to the house and back and forth to the freezer and the fridge. And like, my forearms hurt so bad the next few days from carrying
buckets.
Yeah.
And then I think next time I'm gonna unscrew the other end of one of the roof panels, mm-hmm. so that way I can have access into the chicken tractor from both sides.
Yeah,
just kind of make it easier. Once you get down to like 20 birds, they're like, nah, fam.
Yeah.
Like, we're gonna hide way over here, and I have a giant pole that I bought, which is it's a net. It's like a net you would use to, like, I guess, catch fish maybe, or, but I mean, I don't think it's that high quality. More like to, like, get leaves out of your pond.
Yeah.
Or something. But it's got a huge handle, but it's, like, just a little bit too short, like a couple inches too short, yeah, to reach all the way across. And they would huddle in that back corner once they realized that, like, the net got them. They were going somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, and figuring out what to do with the feathers. Because out of the plucker, they literally just, like, shoot out the back.
Yeah, like I said, I think I'm going to do things, I'm definitely going to do things differently next time. Like, there's got to be some kind of, like, lawn and garden type bags that are like mesh.
Well, I was thinking, so the issue is, like, with a plucker, if you don't know about a plucker, the part of the mechanism that gets the feathers off is there's water running through, so you connect the hose and it's like these little,
and we don't have to connect the hose either too. Some people just spray the hose in on the top,
right? Well, either way, water in, like, so the chicken just kind of spins around in this thing, like, it looks kind of like a dry, like a laundry dryer, but it has, like, water and these little udder things that hit it, and the feathers come off. And then the feathers go out the chute, and they, like shoot out the back end. And the issue is, like, you could put something in front of it, but water is coming out, too. So if you put, like, we kind of had, like, a big Rubbermaid bin behind it, but it, like, would fill with water. What if we just drill holes in the Rubbermaid bin?
I mean, yeah, we can. I just don't want to buy. You gotta buy more Rubbermaid bins.
I know.
Which, yeah.
I mean, we don't have to. I mean, either way.
Giant coolers are apparently, like, impossible to find around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a whole other issue, too.
Sucks.
Yeah, everything we need is just always sold out. Need a money tree.
Well, I mean, right now it's like, it's so hard to get certain items right now.
Yeah.
Like, anything that allows you to do things yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, where's my sculptor?
I know. That's, well, yeah. And kind of on that note, like, I really, it's going to be time for me to buy seeds for next year, which I don't have to buy a lot. But now seeds are, like, running out of stores and stuff. I mean, like, the good ones that you want. So I might have to put an order, but I feel like I can't just because of money right now. But anyway, I guess that's
a danger. I got money. Got some more today too. Our freezer over there is almost empty.
Yeah, that's exciting. We got another freezer.
Oh yeah, that was an interesting trip. But got there, got back, got that freezer.
Yep. As some people know, same thing with freezers. They are hard to come by right now. A lot of appliances are on back order, so we ended up getting one from Facebook Marketplace.
We are. This thing, I don't know if it's ever been used before. It is pristine. Circa 1998. Mm-hmm. Came with the owner's manual. And the owner's manual, like, it was written in and everything.
Yeah. I know, it's like it was in, like, a time capsule. Like, it looks brand new.
Yeah.
It looks great, works great.
Knock on wood.
From 1998.
Yeah. So we'll see how long it lasts. I mean, for what I paid for it, I mean, if it just lasts me a couple months, I'm really get my money's worth out of it.
And pray that it waits to die while there's no chickens in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to start buying, like, there's got to be some kind of thing. There's got to be some way I can cheat the system and not, like, there's going to be some kind of, like, digital thermometers, like, even if they're built for outdoors, that are, like, Wi-Fi or something, and they're, like, I can check them from my phone, and they can alert me if they get to certain degree, and then I can put one out there and here, and another big one. But I've seen some cool stuff for sale I want to buy. I just don't got any freaking room.
I know. Yeah, it's in a terrible spot in our house, but we just really don't have a choice
We might have to, this is going to be the first time me telling you this. Mm. If we bought, like, one of those giant chest freezers, like, I'm talking about, like, the 10-foot-long chest freezer.
I've never even seen that
before. And put it on that back wall and then take the china cabinet and put it there and take the shelves down and put the shelves over there.
I think we just need to get rid of some of the other furniture. Like, these two shelves, like,
they hold stuff. That shelf can't go nowhere.
But they don't need, it's just decorate. Like, my bookshelf, books are, like, obsolete now.
But there's a bear skull on it. And, like,
yeah,
800 turkey trophies.
We can find somewhere else to put them.
You're even trying to move important. Them turkey trophies.
I hate the turkey trophies. Life. I really, really do. I do love want them. To put them directly in the trash.
I wish but people could comment on this so I could just ask people, like, if you turkey hunt, you please explain to my wife that you keep the beards and the spurs from trophy mature toms. Like,
it's disgusting.
A thing. No, it's a thing.
It's disgusting, it's and we thing. Have like 20 of them.
I've killed a lot of nice birds.
Well, anyway, if they're that important to you,
we they are. Can, that's why they're right there.
I feel like we can see them. Put like a shelving unit or something so we don't. I just feel like those two bookshelves just take up so much room that we don't have, and they're not, they're all just decoration. Like, nothing on there is important other than
there's a piggy bank.
Yeah, well, that can go in Troy's room.
He will break that.
He will definitely break that, but that's
not on purpose, but okay, so I'm sure that's a long episode so far, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good one. We used to do an hour all the time.
I know. I mean, so case in point right now, so we have another chicken batch that will be ready at the beginning of August, and we're pretty much, halfway sold out of them already. We got people who are giving us orders now, not just for like, hey, we want it at the beginning of the month, but they're essentially like, we want this many birds over the course of a year delivered to us at this time frame. So it's a little confusing.
Okay. Well, we're not doing a lot of delivery. That's some special circumstances. But so
not a lot of people come here to pick it up.
I know, but I don't want people to like go crazy thinking we're like a delivery service. Like,
you got to be somewhere like where I'm going already, yeah. Essentially.
Yeah,
but yeah, obviously feel free to message us about we are looking to maybe add, well, I guess not maybe, we have some open opportunities now for people who would maybe want to get like a dozen of eggs a week, or maybe even two dozen, or you know, we'll work with what we got, you know, and our egg numbers should be increasing for the thing.
I think it's just the delivery part, again, that is hard. Like, yeah, but
you can message us, and then we can go from there.
Okay.
Like, you know.
I guess.
I mean, I drive an hour to work every day.
Exactly. I hardly...
This is the only 51
minutes I get with you all day. I don't want you to be driving, delivering eggs to people.
Well, I make it work so that I do it on my way after work. And I got a fridge, and I got fridges at work and stuff, so... Mm. Yeah.
Maybe.
Been delivering. Speaking of which, I gotta take a delivery tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
But it's at work, so...
Yeah.
Unless you don't want money.
I don't want to wash the eggs.
I forgot there's a thing of eggs that we gotta take.
That was literally coming out of your mouth right now.
No, I was talking about I gotta take else? Chicken. I gotta take some chickens again tomorrow.
Oh, well, and eggs too. And I.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Eggs have been pretty clean.
Yeah,
I shouldn't take it that long.
Yeah. Oh, we had a broody. Cartons. Oh, yeah, new egg cartons that we're using. I'm very excited about that.
And I'm about to get our brand put on
them. Yeah, yeah. Definitely big upgrade with our egg cartons. And we had our first broody hen. But
she's still brooding.
No, she's not. She wasn't today.
When I collected the eggs, I had to fight her off.
Really? Because she was out and about today.
She's like halfway broody then. Yeah. Like, those eggs wouldn't hatch, but
she's like, I'm still going to try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd move her.
Anticlimactic, though, not much to say because we're not letting her hatch any out. It's just interesting. It's dog bed. If you follow us, it's always dog bed. She's our first ever broody hen.
I know. Well, coming up next, I'll probably get rid of that leghorn rooster. He's got like the equivalent of pierced ears, by the way. So when he got in that fight with that other rooster, there is a distinct hole in one of his wattles.
Yeah, you can see through. I know.
Like, He's a thug of the chicken war.
I like him a lot. I really, really like him. But yeah, that's the only thing. He's too rough on him.
Yeah. So we get rid of him. We love our new breast rooster.
Yeah, he's so beautiful.
He's out there trying to...
cockadoodle. Yeah, that's all I hear trying to cockadoodle-doo. They're growing up
so fast. And we also have that Cornish rooster. So yeah, we can't have three roosters. So we'll get rid of him. We'll be down to two roosters.
Mm-hmm.
For now, maybe three, and that other batch over there.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with them.
I mean, are they hens or roosters?
I don't know. I can't tell. Well, I was looking find out.
They're either going to get sold or sold, given away, or Well, no, we could breed the Moran if it's a rooster.
Yeah, we're keeping the Moran rooster. I thought that was what we had decided.
Yeah, we'll keep that. And then, so if you want... I can't say anything because it might not be a rooster.
Yeah.
And then... Sorry if you listened to this lady that we bought these eggs from who was supposed to have super colorful ones. But I wasn't very, impressed with the Americana blues. I feel like our blues are...
Yeah, our blues are better. They just are.
Yeah. Luck of the draw.
Yeah. I mean, they're not, breed standard or anything, but our... eggs are better.
I mean, who cares about breed standard? These particular birds are specifically for eggs and the colors.
I agree. I would agree.
It's not like we're trying to sell people hey, these are registered eggs. Like, no, we're selling you eggs to eat.
Yeah. No.
But they look really cool.
Yeah, that was my whole thing. So yeah. Yeah. And now we're getting the warning that our podcast is too long.
So that's pretty
good timing.
Heads up. Yeah, I see it.
Okay. Well, hopefully we will be back sooner than the last ones.
Yeah, we'll try to get back on track with the every week stuff.
Well, I think every other week until more is happening.
Other week's going to put us pretty close to the next butcher for the chickens.
Yeah.
And before we know it, the pigs will be here.
I'm in denial about that still.
Yeah, me too, because I haven't built anything for them yet. But I have plans. In my head.
You always do, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time.